So good to be in the Lord's house this morning. Amen. Right before I took the podium, I said, Lord, help me to be better than the last evangelist. 11 years is what he said. So, Lord, help me to do you justice. I'm just joking. I'm so honored to be with you this morning. Many of you don't know me. This is my first time that I've got to be with you. But as I made the drive in, we actually came up early. We came in yesterday, and I was kind of going down memory lane. Because I used to live and work in this area. Many of you are familiar with don't cuss when I say this, but you are familiar with the company Southwestern Energy. Well, I used to be one of those people that ran up. I got some, there's a little murmur going right now. Up and down these roads, I worked in the oil field for almost 10 years of my life. And the truth be told, I always thought that would be my career. But in 2013, I had a radical encounter with God. I've heard it said many times, it's often when you get to the end of your rope is when you find the beginning of His. And I had a rough time with marriage and with, I'll save you all the details, but I came from a broken place. But even in my broken place, God reached down and picked me up, saved me, and filled me with the Holy Ghost. So I don't stand up here with a title or as a somebody. I'm just somebody saved by grace, and I'm so honored to be here with you this morning. Again, I want to say thank you, Pastor Lee, so much for allowing me. Pastor Caleb, I don't know where he went, but thank you both. There, I don't know how I missed him. There he is. Thank you so much for allowing both of you for letting me come and be with you today. I'm excited, and I'm believing for great things in this house today. Many years ago, there were some workers somewhere over, I believe it was in British Columbia. And they were, really what they were scrappers. Their job, their detail was to come in and tear out wire and tear out anything that they could take to the salvage yard, if you will, and make a coin off of. And as they were tearing down this abandoned fort, they were tearing everything apart, they came across a fascinating thing. There was this jail cell all the way lined, this corridor of jail cells, and as they went in, and they couldn't help but notice these heavy iron bars, of course, on the windows, and heavy steel hinges on the doors, and heavy steel gates. Everywhere they looked, it looked like a fortress. But when they began to tear off the building, when they began to tear down the walls, they discovered that the wallboards had actually been made of a material, nothing but wallboard and clay that had been painted to have the appearance of steel. True story. No one had ever escaped in all of the years that prison system was in business, if I can say it like that. No one had ever escaped because no one ever tried. Because not one criminal thought that it was possible. In other words, it was their belief system that held them in that prison. I want to remind you this morning that your faith is a weapon. Jesus put it like this. He said, nothing is impossible to those who believe. And I wonder how many, maybe even in this building this morning, maybe it's not a physical wall or a physical change, but I wonder how many people are being held in bondage because you've never learned how to pick up and wield the weapon of faith. How many are behind walls of addiction or walls of depression or walls of fear? And the list could go. How many have never learned how to walk in faith? I want you to understand that it takes faith to do anything for God. It takes faith to have a devotion time. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. It takes faith to read your Bible. I know that wasn't very revelatory for you this morning, but how many of us even have a devotion time? I'm not talking about Sunday morning. How many of us daily? If you're at all like me, I struggle to read God's word. Well, you're the preacher. Well, God knows, I can tell you. How many times I've opened the Bible and I've read chapters and I've said, God, I didn't get one thing from that. Anybody been there? But sometimes maybe a week or 2 weeks go by and I'm facing a situation and I thought I didn't get nothing, but suddenly the Holy Ghost moves in and reminds me of the word that I'd sown. It takes faith to read God's word. How many of us even have a prayer life? Y'all getting quiet this morning. It's not, if you have a prayer life at all, and I'm not here to throw rocks, if you have a prayer life at all, it is hard. I cannot tell you how many times I went back into my prayer closet, and I've got a little office in the back of my house, and I'll shut the door, and I've got a list over the years. I've had numbers of people's needs, and I write it down on my list. By the way, if you tell somebody you're going to pray for them, pray for them. It's not just something we say, it's something we do. And so I have a list, and I'll go in, and I'll pray, and I'll read the word, and I'll pray, and I'll walk. And I'll walk when I pray, and I'll go through my list, and I'll pray, and I'll pray, and I'll set my clock, because this is how spiritual I am. I say, God, I'm going to give you 1 hour today. And I set my clock, because I don't want to give God any extra time. Y'all with me? And so I set my timer, and I go in, and I'm praying, man. I'm walking. I'm quoting scripture. I'm praying, and my mind's trying to stay on track. And finally, I think to myself, well, I've gone through my list. Surely it's been an hour. And I look at my watch, and 7 minutes have gone by. Come on, son. It's not easy to pray. But God says, if you'll pray, I'll hear, and I'll answer. It takes faith, and Pastor Caleb was already preaching it. It takes faith to praise God before the victory. It took faith when those men were in, Paul and Silas were in that jail. It took faith when they'd just been beaten, and they're found praising God. You know why they were found praising God? Because their worship was not based on their situation, but on Him. Let me tell you something. If we'll praise God before we get victory, we'll see walls come down. Praise is never based on the situation, but praise is always based on the revelation that weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. And if we will walk in faith, I believe that we are a people that can see impossible walls come down. If you have your Bibles this morning, and I hope that you do, your tablet, your scripture, however you want to dial it up. I want you to turn with me over to a very familiar passage of scripture. We're going to dive into Joshua chapter 6. And we'll just read a handful of verses this morning. God's people, if I can just set this up, God's people are entering into the land of promise. 40 years they have wandered in the wilderness. But before God can get them to the place of breakthrough and deliverance and redemption in their life, God begins to test their faith in a way that, if I'm just being honestly this morning, He tests them in a way that makes absolutely no sense. I thought you'd lose your shout right there. Joshua chapter 6, let's read it together. If you're ready for the reading of God's word, somebody shout amen. Scripture says this: Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see. Sometimes you got to see it before you see it. He said, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns and before the ark, but the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before it, straight before him. We're going to stop right there. God has told Israel, He says, if you want to see the walls come down, then you're going to have to march around the walls. And if we're being honest this morning, that is a command that to them at the time was a command that made absolutely no sense. We know that in military warfare, that is not how it's done. But if God's people were going to conquer their Jericho, they were going to have to learn how to, by faith, trust God. And I want to remind somebody this morning that if you and I are to conquer the Jerichos in our lives, you and I also have got to learn how to trust in God. I simply want to preach to you this morning the title, the caption, the theme, Conquered by God. Saints, would you help me pray that God would have his way one more time in this service. Lord, we love you today. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that we can freely come into this house. We're thankful, Lord, for the atmosphere that's been set. We feel your presence in this building. But Father, I don't know all the situations in this building, but I know that you are a God that still wants to speak to your people. So, Lord, I pray that, Father, that I would get out of the way and your voice would be heard and your spirit would be felt in this house. Lord, shake chains and let prison doors begin to open all over this building. Speak to us today. And Lord, in every situation, elevate our faith in you. Bless this word and bless your people today in the mighty name of Jesus. And somebody shout amen. Now we know that God has just called his people to march around the walls of Jericho. The only way that the walls were going to come down was if the people responded in faith. I want to point out to you this morning that it took faith for Joshua. Because when God gave him the word, Joshua had to, can you imagine? This is the big battle plan that he's explaining to the military. It took faith for Joshua to explain the plan to the people. And then on the other side, it took faith by the people to pick up their not just their weaponry, but just to begin to walk. It took faith to march around the building. You see, standing in front of them were the infamous walls of Jericho. And as they walked around these walls day after day after day, this was an opportunity for them to get up close and personal. They recognized quickly that this was a stronghold without weakness. You see, the walls of Jericho, whether you recognize it or not today, the walls of Jericho represent that situation in our life. If God don't show up, if God doesn't do it, then there's no way that it's ever going to get done. If you have that picture, friend, I want you to throw it up. I told him before I came up, I said, if I explain this, it's going to take me 20 minutes, but if I show you a picture, you'll get it real fast. Many years ago, archaeologists actually discovered and unearthed the remains of the city of the wall of Jericho. And this is a kind of a reenactment of what the archaeologists had painted to give us a picture of what it actually looked like in that day. Now, I don't know how your Sunday school teacher taught it, but when I was a kid, we just colored one wall. But they actually discovered that it actually had two separate walls. That's why it's not called the Wall of Jericho, but the Walls of Jericho. And so when an enemy came in to invade, they were met with, it was almost like it was an earth bank up on an island. There's a reason why it's called a stronghold. So when they would come in, there was no way that a catapult or they could get a horse or a chariot. There's no way that they could even get that over the first wall. And if they could get over the first wall, then they would have a steep climb up to the second wall. And then on the second wall, I imagine at the time, would have been every man, woman, child, soldier that was ready to attack you at a moment's notice if you even got close to the second wall. They learned that not only was it a city that was well defended, but it was also a city that was well supplied with food and water was near. And the reason that I point that out this morning, the reason that it applies is because in that day, oftentimes when a military would come and invade a city, they would use a tactic that is known as a military siege. And what that means is what they would do, they wouldn't come and climb over the wall, but when they would come to a stronghold, they would just throw up their tents outside the city. The army would surround, and they would just sit outside the gates until it, sometimes it would take a great deal of time, but they would sit outside the gates until those behind the walls would run out of food and water. And when they got desperate enough behind the walls, then they would come out from the safety and they would fight on a level playing field. But you see, the problem with a siege is a siege takes time. In 2 Kings alone, the scripture lays out a siege that lasted for more than 3 years. Scripture says it was during that siege that you'll remember that a donkey's head was sold behind the walls for some 80 pieces of silver. And I think it says that literally a cup of dove's dung, animal feces, they were so desperate, they sold it for 5 pieces of silver. It was during a siege that a woman walked by the king that was up on the wall, and she made the confession that in her desperation that she and her friend had boiled and eaten their own child. It was during a siege that the 4 lepers asked the famous question, why should we sit here and die? You see, the siege was a popular military tactic that they used in ancient times that would bring the greatest of strongholds to its knees. But a siege takes time. And Jericho was not just a city that had great, magnificent walls. Not only was it a stronghold, but it was a city that had an ample supply of food and water. So the plan of Jericho, when God's people invaded, the plan of Jericho was simply to shut the gates and to wait God's people out. And I cannot help but wonder how many times the enemy uses the very same tactic on you. How many times do you and I, we are at the edge of breakthrough. We are at the edge of God's promise. We are about to see a miracle, and the devil says, I'm just going to shut the gates. I've seen this before, and I'll wait them out because I'm telling you, I know how God's people are, and eventually they're going to get tired of reading that Bible. Eventually they're going to get tired of praying in the prayer closet. Eventually they're going to get tired of marching around that old wall, and I'm telling, and he puts out a battle plan to wait God's people out. I want to encourage someone this morning to outwit the enemy. You have got to learn how to outwait the enemy. That's why it was David who said, he said in his word, I hope, David said, my soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. You have got to be willing to wait on God to get what you want from God. Delay is not denial. And if God has given you a promise, I encourage you, you just keep on marching, you keep on walking, and you'll receive what God has promised you. But in this moment, it was not God's plan to outwait the enemy. But the master's plan was to teach the people how to wield the weapon of faith. God was teaching them how to walk in faith. I want you to understand, faith is a weapon. Faith is a weapon. Faith can move mountains. Faith can buy anything from God. The scripture says that Jericho was securely shut up. Nobody's coming in. Nobody's going out. The first time that they went down to check on the city, the gates were open, the blacksmith was hammering, the market, the hustle and bustle, everything was going. But this time when they topped the hill and they looked at Jericho, all the gates had been shut. It looked like a ghost town, and everybody was ready for a fight. You see, the city was in alarm mode. And when Joshua came down, the intelligence is that the city was secure. When they gave him the orders, Joshua's looking at this and he's thinking, if I try to breach the walls, no doubt they'll slaughter my entire army. And if I surround the city, they'll just wait me out. I want you to recognize that Joshua was in an impossible situation. And to make matters worse, God calls on Joshua to do something that makes absolutely no sense. God said, Joshua, come here, son. This is the big plan. I want you to surround the city. I want you to march around the city day after day, six times. And on the seventh time, I want you to march around and have the priests blow the trumpets. Now, listen, we know it don't take all that. We know that God does not depend on us to do anything. It is us that is fully dependent on God. So we know that God could have snapped his fingers and made those walls fall on the very first day. But he said, I want you to march and walk around the walls. If you'll march around the city, I'll make the walls come down. And the question that I had was why? God, why do you want your people to march? Why do you want them to do this day after day? And I found out that in Deuteronomy 28, that God had already laid out a plan for his people. In Deuteronomy 28, God had promised them, he said, if you'll obey me, I'll bless you. God said, if you'll obey me, he said, I'll exalt you above all other nations. He said, if you'll obey me, I'll give you success in your finances. If you'll obey me, I'll bless your children. God said in Deuteronomy 20, if you'll obey me, I'll set you apart. I want you to understand that by design, the blessings of God were meant to come or flow through the obedience of God's word applied to our lives. And friend, the plan of God still has not changed. If you want to see the impossible become possible, I dare you to walk in the spirit and not walk in the flesh. I dare you to walk in accordance to what God's word has called for. So our scripture says that obedience is better than sacrifice. You see, Joshua and the army, they had to learn how to trust God the same way that Moses had learned how to trust God. I want you to recognize this morning that this was Joshua's very first act as leader of God's people. I want you to remember that up to this point in time, every miracle that had happened had been brought by the hand of Moses. You'll remember that when God's people were in captivity for 400 years, it was Moses that went before Pharaoh and said, let my people go. It was Moses that stretched the staff across the river and the water turned to blood. It was Moses that stretched the staff across the Red Sea and they walked across. It was Moses. They were thirsty, about to die in the desert. It was Moses that struck the rock and water flowed out. It was Moses that put the bronze serpent upon a pole and held it up, and every man, woman, and child that looked at it was healed. It was Moses. Every time it was Moses. And now here's Joshua, and he's feeling the weight of leadership. He's feeling the expectation. Everybody's looking at Joshua, and Joshua knows that he's no Moses. But if Joshua was going to experience the same blessings, the same provision, the same miracle working power, if he was going to lead God's people past the land of Jericho and into the land of promise, then Joshua was going to have to learn how to obey God just like Moses had learned before. Can I tell you this morning, faith in God's word applied to our lives is still the key to victory. So many times we say, oh, pastor, if I just had a Moses, oh, if I just had a super spiritual evangelist or a super somebody pastor, oh, if I just had an Elijah or an old friend, if you'll just walk in faith like God's word says, we can see the impossible become possible. So the first thing God did when Moses died is he turned to Joshua and he said, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. God said, come here, son. Joshua, pick up the ark and start walking. But the procedure to march around that city was a procedure that made absolutely no sense. And it required total faith and dependence on what God said. Can you imagine what Joshua must have felt like in that moment? I can just see God looking at Joshua saying, son, I know what you're thinking. I know it may sound crazy, but if you'll march around the walls, then he said, I'll make the walls come down. And my mind goes to a man named Naaman, who was eaten up with leprosy. He was in pain. He was an outcast. He was in trouble. He was literally dying from this disease. He was hurting. And God went to Naaman, and he said, son, he said, I want you to go down and dip in the water 7 times. This was a body of water he'd been in many times before. But God said, if you'll go down and you'll dip 7 times. And Naaman went down to the water. Can you imagine how silly he must have looked as he's out there dipping in the water? I wonder if people laughed. I wonder if people pointed. But he just kept on dipping. And on the 7th time, he came out of the water. Why? And they wasn't laughing anymore because he obeyed God and he got what he came for. It didn't make sense, but it works. There was a young widow woman whose children were about to be sold into a lifetime of slavery. The Bible says that all that she had in her house was about this much. So all she had was a little bit of oil. And the man of God came to the house. He had the word of God and he told her. He said, if you want to see a miracle, he said, I want you to go out and get every bucket, every vessel that you can find. I know there was, it doesn't say bucket. I'm going to tell you, I preach out of the MOV. That's my own version, my own translation. So she went out and got every bucket she could get. She had about 30 or 40 5-gallon buckets lined up in her house. And God said, I want you to take this. That's all it was. I want you to take the little bit, and I want you to fill up those 40 buckets. Come on, don't y'all act so spiritual. I want you to take this and fill up that. That makes absolutely no sense. But the Bible says she acted in faith to what the Word said. And she's seen a breakthrough. Friend, if we will be true to obey the Word of God. I know, listen, it takes faith to obey God. It does not make sense, and it is a battle of the mind. But God said, if you'll obey me, he said, I'll bless you. If you'll push against that jail cell that you perceive to be solid steel and impossible, you say, well, nobody's ever broke through. If you'll push, can I tell you, God will make the walls come down. Great moves of God are often preceded by the simplest acts of obedience. If we can just learn how to obey God. If we can learn to hide his word in our hearts so we know which direction to take, we will see the impossible. The very reason that God's people were wandering, forced to wander 40 years, the Bible says, in the wilderness, is because they had not yet learned how to trust God. 40 years of their lives, they wondered. 40 years they waited. And I don't know if your Bible's like my Bible, but mine has a little map in it. And it actually shows little dots that actually show the trail of where the people wandered in those 40 years. I've seen the map. They've zigzagged all over the place. So it fascinates me when I see God bringing his people out, that he brought them to the city of Jericho. God, why did you bring them to Jericho? Jericho was a fortress. And Jericho was not the only way into the land of promise. God could have brought his people in a number of different ways. But God brought them to Jericho. My Lord. God, why did you bring them to Jericho? Because if you know your Bible, you will also know that Jericho is the strongest city that they would ever face. And we look at that and we say, God, you could have started them out with a weaker city. God, you could have started them, maybe even a city without walls would be all right. Get them to a place and give them a few victories under their belt and give them a little confidence before they face Jericho. But that's not how God works. We do it all the time. We have a prayer. We have an altar call, and somebody comes up. They come down in a wheelchair, maybe, and they say, I need God to heal my legs. Anybody need prayer for a headache on this side? Come on, somebody. I don't mind praying for the headache, but God, the wheelchair, that's too big for me, God. Come on, somebody. God, I can handle that, because if God don't suit, a lot of times we can write it off on something else. Oh, I'm preaching now. But if God don't do this, it can only come from God. Because Jericho's too big. God, I can't handle this. And in it we see the wisdom of God versus the wisdom of man. Sometimes God will lead you to the biggest battle first, just to get you to a place that you'll learn how to trust him. He'll take you to a place that the battle's too big. It's a fight that you literally cannot handle. And what it is, it's a training ground to see if your faith is in him or if it's still in you. You see, God was teaching them, if you learn how to walk with me, if you'll learn how to obey me, the walls will fall. Many of you remember when little David fought Goliath. We all know that story. We remember how little David went out and everybody is laughing and talking about David. And, you know, you can't do it. You're too little. He's too big. You're too strong. And David kept on running. The entire army was frozen in fear, the Bible says, but he just kept on running his mouth. He wasn't talking big. He really believed what he was saying. And finally they brought him before the king. And he goes in before the king. And this is where we find out that this was not the first battle of David. Because sometimes God will take you to the biggest battle of your life. He'll take you to a place that you cannot understand. Sometimes God will put your biggest battle on the front side so you'll learn how to trust him on the backside. And David goes before the king, and they're having a little talk, and the king tells him, he says, listen, you're just a shepherd boy, and Goliath is a champion, and he's been trained from his youth. And it's in that story that we find out that this is not David's first fight. He stands before the king. We find out that he's already been in a place where there was no way. We find out that in one time he was keeping his daddy's sheep and a lion came out and he killed the lion. Another time a bear came out and he killed the bear. And he stands before the king and he's telling him, he's saying, there's no way, you're too little, you're just a shepherd. And he says, oh king, you've got to understand, I've already been in a place where there was no way. He said, you got to understand, king, when the lion came out, I killed it. When the bear came out, I killed it. And if my God is big enough to deliver me from a lion and a bear, then king, you better make no mistake that my God is well able to deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Sometimes God will take you to the front side just so that you'll learn how to trust him on the backside. And I've come to tell somebody this morning, if you're facing a Jericho, and maybe in your spirit you're saying, God, why did you bring me here? Why am I faced with this opposition? Could it be that God is trying to get you to a place of complete trust in him? Walking in faith is still the key to victory. Even when you don't feel like walking, even when the impossible situation, even it's too big, it's too strong, we've got to walk in faith to what God says. I want you to understand this morning, that before God could use the people to conquer Jericho, first the people had to become conquered by God. Before God could use them, before God could use them to conquer their future, they had to become conquered by God. God, it does not make sense to march around those walls. God, it does not make sense to dip seven times. God, it does not make sense to pour the oil. It does not make sense. But God said, if you'll respond in faith, I'll give you victory. Can I have musicians come? And I'm trying to close. Could it be that for some of us this morning, the reason we haven't seen the impossible become possible? Could it be for some of us the reason that we've not conquered our Jerichos is because we've too yet to be fully conquered by God? It does not make sense to pray to a God that knows what we're going to say before we ever open our mouths. Doesn't make sense. Do we even have a prayer life? But God said, pray. For all the things that Jesus taught the disciples when he left them the torch, he never taught them how to preach. He only taught them how to pray. If Jesus was found praying all the time, how much more should you and I be found? Jesus, God said, pray and I'll hear and I'll answer. Do we even have a prayer time? Oh, I'm talking to somebody. Do we have a devotion time? I'm not talking about church on Sunday morning, but do we take a little time and put God's word in our heart? You don't have to spend 3 hours in the prayer room or in the office. You can give God 2 minutes and read a chapter. Or how much time are we giving his word? Because he said, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. How much time do we have faith in what God said? Do we praise him before the breakthrough? Do we praise him before the walls? He's still the same God. Because if we praise God by what we feel, we're never going to praise God. It'll be seasonal. But if we praise God because of who he is, we can always find a reason. If you'll praise him, anybody can praise God on the mountain. But you know where you find real worshipers? When they're in the fight of their life, when disease has ripped through their body, oh my God is good. It's what true worship is. Do we have faith to tithe? The quieter you are, the more I stay on it. It don't make sense. Scripture teaches the tithe is 10%. And if you tell me that somebody can take a $100 bill and take 10 out of the 100, and don't make sense, but God says, I'll take the 90 further than the 100 would ever go. I believe that. And I said one of the money preachers. No, I'm not here for your tithe. I don't want your money. It's God's money. And if this ain't your home church, and I think Pastor backed me up, this is not where you pay tithe. Tithe isn't for the evangelist, isn't for the TV preacher. The tithe is for the storehouse. And I know it don't make sense, but God says, if you'll honor me with the tithe, he said, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing on your life you can't even contain it. You know why? I'm a joyful giver. It's not because I'm spiritual. It's because I believe what God said. Anytime I give to God, I'm going to get a return. If you're not a tither, I would encourage you. Believe what he said. I know it don't make sense. I know it sounds crazy. But it works. If we want to see walls fall, if we want to see great moves of God in our generation again, we've got to learn how to trust God. You will never conquer your Jericho until you have become fully conquered by God. I'll never forget One of my father's childhood friends by the name of Wayne Suddeth. And my father and him, they grew up together as kids all through. But when they got out of high school, Wayne decided that he was going to join the military. And so the first thing that they do when you join the military, they'll send you to boot camp. And they sent him to boot camp, and it was not at all what he thought it was going to be. How many of you understand when you sign on that dotted line, you're not your own anymore? You may have been able to do and get up when you wanted, stay up, go to the bathroom. You could do all that, but when you sign the line, they own you. And they sent him to boot camp, and he felt like he had one of the harshest drill sergeants out there. I mean, he was just hard on him all the time. Because in the military, they do not give you enough information to think. They just try to teach you to obey. If you've ever been to boot camp, you know that when the sergeant comes into the room in the morning at 3 a.m., he's never going to walk in and say, "Do you feel like running this morning, baby?" Oh, no. You better be up and ready. Come on, somebody. And they would run them till they dropped. They would push their bodies. But it really wasn't about their body. It was about their mind. They were trying to get them to a place of complete. I don't even think about it. I just respond to what they say. He said, "I never understood why they were so hard on me until I found myself in the middle of a war." He said, "I was in his unit. He was actually some form of a tank operator. Him and about 5-6 other guys were in this tank. And he said they were in the heat of the battle on the front line. He said their tank had been hit. It was completely disabled. Their commanding officer gave the command to abandon the tank. It was their only chance. So they pop open that hatch. And one by one they began to jump off. And they were running into the jungle. Just trying to get away. Trying to survive." And when Wayne got his opportunity, when he was one of the last out, when he got up and he got to the edge of the tank to jump, that's when he got caught with an enemy round. He said immediately he lost his sight and he fell off the front of that tank. He hit the ground. And he said he knew he didn't feel any pain. He said, "But I knew what happened. And he knew he only had moments to live. He can't see. He's blinded. They're in the heat of the battle." So instantly, he said, "I just got a few minutes." And he resigned himself to lay on the ground and die. Until suddenly, he heard that familiar voice over the top of him. And he said, "Suddeth, get up and run, boy." And he said, being trained not to think, I had every reason to lay there. But being trained not to think, but to obey. I couldn't even see, but I began to run blindly through the jungle until I found safety. That gentleman told my father on the phone that morning. He said, "Had I not been trained to obey, I never would have survived." You hear me? God's not trying to use his word to be a dictator over your life. God knows what's coming. He knows the battles that we're going to face. And he's trying to get you to a place of complete obedience in him. He's trying to get you to a place that you don't respond by what you feel, but you respond. You walk in faith to what God says. Can you stand to your feet across this building? God's end goal for our lives is our survival. Well, preacher, we're not saved by obeying the law. And you are right, sir or ma'am. We are saved by grace through faith. But you hear me today, faith never stands alone. Faith always stands side by side with a lifestyle that is striving to be obedient to God. Have you been conquered by God? Or is there some stuff that the Holy Spirit may be dealing with you this very morning? Are there some secret places? Maybe secret addictions. I don't know. I don't pretend to know. But has there been some things that the Holy Spirit has pricked your heart this morning that you need to lay it down? You're not going to see the wall fall until you've surrendered your life to Him. We've got to give God everything. He said, I'm a jealous God. Are there any areas of your life that you've yet to be fully conquered by Him? I'm not going to ask you to close your eyes or slip up a hand. There's nothing wrong with that. That's just not how I operate. I believe in public confession. Why is that, preacher? When Jesus carried the cross up Calvary's hill, and people spit on Him and ripped out His beard. They beat Him to a place that He was almost unrecognizable. When Jesus carried that cross, sinless in perfection, it was my cross and your cross that He carried. And when He carried it, it was openly and it was publicly. And I think the least that many times that we can do is take a few steps in a church that's not going to laugh at you or mock you, but we are going to celebrate with you. Preacher, I've got some stuff. Maybe you're here, you don't know Jesus. Maybe you're not following like you know that you should. If you're here today and you need salvation, I want you to come right now. If you need Jesus, I want you to come. If you're here, and listen, the Bible says to cast aside every sin, but it also says to cast aside every weight and sin. And if you're here this morning and there's some sin, nobody knows but God knows, if there's some sin that you need God to conquer in your life, in just a moment I'm going to have you come. And if you got some weights that are hindering you from your best of what you can be with God, in Jesus' name, all over this building, I want you to come right now. Come on. Who's going to break the ice today? Who's going to lead? Because I promise you, when you take that step, there's some around you. They want to respond, but they're afraid, and fear holds them back. God's looking for some leaders in this house. I got some stuff that I need to get under the blood. I got some weights in my life where I'm not fully. God, forgive me for prayerlessness. I don't know what it is. That's between you and God. But all over this building, can we have the same war cry today as we push into this altars? Can we all just begin to tell, oh, conquer me, oh God. Anything in my life, any hidden place, any addiction, God, conquer. I want everything. I want your blood to wash me. I want your faith to strengthen me. Oh, come on, all over this building, if you need something from God, if you need a miracle in your life, if you need to see impossible walls come down, I dare you to walk by faith and not by sight. Come to this altar, throw up your hands and begin to talk to God. Come on, friend. They're going to lead us. If you need a miracle, if you need God to resurrect some things or even kill some things, will you come right now? They're going to lead us, and we're going to spend time with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.